Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. We're still in the middle of summer, which I love, and we've got a great show for you. Later on, one of our favorites here at Boundless, we like him when he can pop by, Glenn Stanton, is here to talk about being made in the image of God, specifically with women. He's answering a question from a guy who wants to know basically how he can wrestle with a woman's emotions, I guess, and how does that reflect the image of God? So that'll be interesting to hear Glenn's perspective on that. And then for our culture segment, we have Tyndall Baldwin. She is the author of Popular, Boys, Booze, and Jesus. Apparently, do those three go hand in hand? I don't know. No. But she's going to tell her own story. This is basically how she went after a life of being popular and kind of cast everything that she grew up with aside and got into the party scene, and how God pulled her out of that and what she's learned about trying to gain acceptance as a result. But here we are for our round table. I've got three folks in the studio. Anna, who is our Focus Leadership Institute summer intern. Hey, Anna.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. She has been featured on the show before and did a very good job. And actually, I should say, produced this show. So this topic, this theme that is threaded throughout the show is Anna's idea. We like it when we get our interns to give them an entire show and see what they craft. So thanks for doing that, Anna.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yay. And you brought two friends with you, two guys. We like it when we can get some guys in the studio. So we have got Jared and Troy with us. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we've got I wish, you know, we could have just talked about like, hey, this is just a super fun, here are our favorite movies, you know, whatever, round table. We actually have to talk about something real because you can blame Anna. This is her idea. So maybe we'll save a couple minutes at the end and just talk about, you know, favorite movies or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to talk about identity today and our struggle for identity and how we wrestle with kind of what we will be talking about a little bit in our culture, which is the struggle for acceptance and what we do to gain that, and how we're frustrated with ourselves because we say, shouldn't I just find my identity in Christ? Don't I know this stuff? Don't I understand this? Don't I know that I'm, you know, made it in the image of God and that he loves me perfectly and I don't have to worry about other people's opinions? Well, we can say all that and then go around and not live one single bit of it. So let's start the conversation here by just saying obviously, isn't it weird how, like, when you think of yourself at, like, 5 years old, you probably didn't sit around and just be like, you know, I really struggle with my identity. And, you know, it's like, why do kids just think that everyone likes them and everything's okay and they're just as, you know, they're fine and all this kind of stuff and they're happy-go-lucky. And then at some point in our lives, we realize that maybe I'm not the most popular. Maybe I'm not the most accepted. Maybe there are people that don't like me for whatever reason. Did any of you guys have, like, a moment? Like, what was that moment in your life, whether in school or wherever, where you kind of started realizing, this is like a survival of the fittest weirdness here, where there are some issues and you started kind of struggling with a little insecurity. Any stories around that?
I definitely think, I don't know that I have any specific stories, but junior high school is kind of the time I think that starts. And that's such a huge time of insecurity for kids growing up. And I think that's when kids get meanest. I've always heard people say, you're never as mean as you are as a junior high student.
Yeah.
And so I think that, for me, looking back, that's probably where it first started, you know, hitting home to me that, like, yeah, you know, people sometimes don't like you, or people are sometimes mean to you.
I think that in junior high and high school, you struggle with that, but it's like a safety net, though, at least it was for me, because I still lived at home. And so, you know, even though at school, like, I may have struggled with popularity or struggled with my worth, like, I could come home and, like, my parents would speak truth into my life. But then when I got to college, like, that wasn't there. And so I think that's where I started, like, I don't know, maybe struggling with it more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think college definitely gives you a chance to dwell on your loneliness a little bit more, because you're not with the same people all day long like you are growing up in high school and middle school, stuff like that. So it's really a challenge at that point. It's a challenge all the way through to understand, to just understand what our identity is, but especially in college, I think the problem is exaggerated a little bit. I think it gets worse.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
Especially for all of us, we went to a secular college, so you're swimming upstream, you know, with the culture, and so I think you can lose your identity if you're not careful and if you're not, like, staying where you're abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now that you mentioned college too, I think freshman year kind of gives you that opportunity to like reinvent yourself that everybody talks about. And I think that can be sort of an identity crisis because you're like, you have to look back and think, okay, who was I in high school and did I like who I was? Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people are trying to go and like, well, I want to put forth this new image of myself and who I am. And I think it makes you think a lot about, okay, who do I want to be? Who do I want people to think I am?
Yeah, I think you forget about how God created you and try to create yourself. That's I experienced that.
I think that's a good description.
Yeah, it's something that we just hold on to because it's so prominent in our culture, especially going to a new place, meeting all these new people, you know.
Yeah, and talk about that a little bit, Troy, because I know, you know, all three of you shared a little bit of your stories with me before we started taping. And Troy, you mentioned specifically how, you know, yeah, you understand all this stuff of what God says about you, but it kind of seems a little out there sometimes when the tangible of like walking across campus and knowing who wants to hang out with you on Friday night, that's very real. And yeah, understanding that. So how do you wrestle with that?
Well, it is definitely wrestling with it. It's not something that comes naturally. We naturally want to seek the attention of our peers. And that's something that I have to fight against. Because if I truly do believe that God is good, that God has value in me, that he created me for a great purpose, and that is what I believe, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm failing if I try to seek approval from others. So it's not something that I've mastered, definitely. But I think realizing who God is and trusting that he is faithful is something that's really helped me. And living in a life that I can surround myself with people who feel the same way, that that they realize that they have the same struggles, and that we can seek God together and not just seek each other.
Yeah,
I just want to add to that, like, I think what he said, I don't remember the word he used, but this is a process. None of us have arrived, and I don't think we ever will until we see Christ face to face. And so it's a lifelong pursuit of God and knowing who he is and knowing who we are in him. And I really liked what you said about surrounding ourselves with a community that's going to be in that same process and that's going to encourage us in that process.
Yeah. So why do you think, because I know all three of you have kind of identified as like performance being one thing that's huge for you. Why is that so huge in your generation in particular? I mean, in college, out of, you know, Jared, you're out of college now. But what, I mean, why is that? Because I thought that millennials are just like, oh, everyone's all like affirmed and you're all just great and whatever. And everyone gets the trophy. I mean, that's what we read and stuff. So why are you still so struggling with performance? Where does that crop up?
I mean, I really feel like a lot of it comes out of, for me, it's sports culture, because I'm a big sports fan and I'm involved in sports. And really the whole theme that is always hammered home in sports is about performance. If you're not performing, you're not helping the team. And I mean, I follow the NFL really closely, and it's like someone stops performing, they have every right to just cut them off the team. They, you know, they don't really have a value to the team anymore. And so that's something that I think over time it just slowly wears on you, and you start to feel like, yeah, you know, your performance and how you do on the field or how you do in life really does affect who you are. And I mean, we always describe people as like a Pro Bowl quarterback. They're defined, their identity is making the Pro Bowl or being good. And that's always been a struggle for me. I think it's just there in every aspect of life, because sports is so all encompassing for young men my age, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think it really drifts into the rest of my life too. Like with relationships, it's easier to understand like when there might be rejection or criticism or judgment based on something that I've done. I mean, it seems like an immediate response, and that's, I mean, that's what I associate it with. I think that's why performance is such a tough issue for me.
And then from the side of someone who's not a huge sports fanatic, I think that my performance comes from my like longing to be valued and accepted. And so like the way I see that is I need to work for it and try to gain others' approval, because I'm so afraid of being inadequate. And like God hasn't called us to be doers as much as he had, like just to be. I mean, when it comes to like our relationship with him, I often want to do and try to, you know, perform for him. And that also translates into the way I relate to other people. And he just wants me to be and just abide in him and in his truth.
Yeah, I know one of you, I think maybe it was Troy, that said this in some of the stuff beforehand, before we started taping, that you kind of almost found yourself, or you struggle to find yourself looking at other people's faults, almost, like, where, you know, that became a struggle of like, okay, well, if I can, you know, find out where they're unworthy or where they've messed up, then it makes me feel better about myself. I mean, do you find that playing out in life, or?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's not something that I'm proud of, mm-hmm. but I mean, being open and honest, that is a struggle of mine. Mm-hmm. I definitely have a competitive nature, and that often comes out in me, in some ways, devaluing other people to try to make myself feel worthy. And that's something that is really weighed on my heart. It brings up a lot of bitterness, a lot of pessimism, really. And it just affects my relationships with people, my relationship with God, and life in general. It just is not a good thing.
Yeah. And I know, Jared, similarly, in fact, I'm going to just read a quote of something that you wrote here that I thought was really great. You talked about this struggle within yourself, and you said, I can be very negative in my self-talk, and I started verbally beating on myself, repeating all of my own flaws and failures. Doing that constantly causes me to live angrily, withholding forgiveness from people I felt caused me to fail.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like just this summer, God's really been working on that in me. Just unforgiveness and thinking about how I think some of that has come from trying to put my identity in performance, because I feel like when I've failed in life situations, I'll start to blame the people around me because I feel like they affected my identity by causing me to fail. And so it's a long process, and it's tough because it's not like, you know, one time I sat down and really went through an effort to pray and try to forgive people in my life that I was holding grudges against, and I thought I'd be done with it then, you know, and it crops back up a week later. And I realized that was just the first step. It's a process of trying to forgive them. And once I'm forgiving them, I start realizing I have to forgive myself too for failure, that it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change how God sees me. So why should I be that hard on myself? Why should I be holding things against myself that I can't control?
Mm-hmm. And I think there's almost like a distinction between, because a lot of us, you know, we feel, quote, rejected by people, but they're not, you know, people that really know us, or they're people that don't, you know, we don't necessarily value their opinion or whatever. So we can kind of like brush that off, like, oh, you know, this professor or this employer or whatever, they're kind of a jerk, you know, whatever. But like, let's talk about relationships that are meaningful to us. And I know most of us have been through like breakups, and I know you you guys, bless their hearts. I know you talked about, you know, you guys went through breakups and stuff like that. And of course, Anna and I, as girls, you know, it's constantly feeling rejected if we're interested in someone and they don't mm-hmm. reciprocate or whatever. It's just like, hello, welcome to our lives 24/7. But let's talk about that. Like, how have relationships, I mean, do you try to protect your heart in that sense when it comes to relationships? Or have you felt like you put yourself out there and been rejected? And how did you climb out of that hole?
Well, yeah, I have been rejected. And a lot of that is the foundation for how I live. Like I said, devaluing other people is because I felt devalued. And that hurts, you know. I have this pride about myself that I want to be the best. I want to be the most worthy. And when that isn't the case, I try to make it the case. And that's, I have a fear of rejection that comes out of that. And finding my identity in that is really tough because I have a lot of insecurities and failures that come to the surface that I just really don't know how to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally true. And I'm kind of the same way. I've maybe been too open in relationships or too invested too much of myself in it. And I think it's good to invest your time, your energy in a relationship if it really matters to you, but investing your identity is dangerous. And I've learn that the hard way. Because you invest your identity in being a good boyfriend or, you know, someone who's good at relationships, good at connecting with people. And then when things kind of go south, you start thinking like, maybe I'm just really bad at all this. And it definitely affects your identity that I'm realizing more and more how much I have to protect who I am. I mean, I can invest time and love and energy in relationships, but I can't let those relationships define how I see myself or who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are still individuals, and that's sometimes hard to remember, but that's the truth. I mean, we lose that sometimes because we are wrapped up with this other person or something, and we base our life around that too much a lot of times. Like Jared said, I had struggled with that too. Mm-hmm. And when that's gone, you or like, where was my footing at? You know, what happened? And it's a struggle to find that identity again because we've compromised it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel like, you know, because of course, you know, first of all, it's kind of weird because, you know, to me, you guys all seem like, oh yeah, you know, you just seem so great. And, you know, you've got all your, you know, Jared, you didn't say this, but you're a swimmer and you do a lot of competitive swimming and stuff like that. And you guys are all look successful and look like you have your heads on straight and all that kind of stuff. So most people would be like, how could you guys struggle with identity? And it's funny because, so we're always told, you know, you guys, I'm sure, have been under sermons and in Bible studies and stuff where it's like, find your identity in Christ and know who you are and know that you're valued. And like Troy said, you know, you, the fact is we're all unworthy. The fact is none of us have anything to bring, you know, to the table other than Christ and his righteousness. And so how do you make that connection in your head? How do you constantly preach truth to yourself to know that all this stuff that the world is telling you is not true? How do you get beyond that, and have you seen growth in that area?
I think it's a difficult topic because I know, I mean, you hear it all the time, like you said, and it can start to sound like cliches to you sometimes, like, well, you know, you just have to know who you are in God, and that's that's it. And after a while, that stops being effective. You keep telling yourself that, and I kind of realized there was a point in my life where it just seemed really surface level. It seemed like cliches. And I couldn't figure out how to get through myself. And what I had to realize was that I was withholding forgiveness from a lot of people, but myself included with that. And that was kind of, I felt like God had to strip down the layers a little bit, that I'd kind of built up a layer of unforgiveness over my identity crisis. Mm-hmm. And so...
Explain that a little bit. What does that mean to withhold forgiveness from yourself and others in light of that?
Well, I really felt like I was refusing to forgive people that I felt had wronged me or that I felt had set me up to fail in life situations. And I think that just goes back to kind of the identity by performance. I placed too much of my identity in that. And when I failed, I couldn't forgive the people that I blamed for my failures. And I couldn't forgive myself. I would kind of, you know, harp on myself about things. Oh, you're not good with people, or you're not good with relationships. And I couldn't forgive myself for things I'd done wrong in the past, or things that were just kind of my personality that I was still learning and figuring out. So I really felt like God had to convict me about that, and it took a long time where it was like, I need to forgive people, I need to forgive myself. And at that point, it suddenly started making sense to me again where my identity was. And I realized how much I was filtering that through my unforgiveness, and that's why it was sounding so shallow and like cliches to me. It was like, I needed to clear out some other things in my life and let God do some work in me. And once that layer was off, it was like, now he can speak to my identity, now I can really receive this.
It's all about submission, really. Like Jared said, we have to let God work through us. We do have a lot of baggage, but when God reveals that to us, you know, we can either look at it and be like, oh, yeah, I have that baggage, or you can be like, okay, God, how are we going to deal with this? And that mindset is what really shapes your identity, I think.
For me, like, whenever I'm trying to find my identity or like trying to build up my self-esteem and I'm focusing on myself, that's a temporary like fix. You know, I can say I'm going to find who I am in God, but I'm focused on myself. And so maybe for a while I feel better about myself and, you know, find my value in that. But I found that the only way I can really, really find my value that's going to last is whenever I really focus on who God is. And that's actually one of my favorite things about God, is that he's so faithful and trustworthy, and like he is who he says he is. And one day I was actually praying about that, and I was just praising him that he is who he says he is. And he just laid it on my heart, then how come you don't believe that you are who I say you are? And I think that whenever we really just turn our eyes on who he is, like, he reveals his truths about us. And then it's not surface level. It's deeper because we're focused on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good thoughts. So what would you guys say, like, moving ahead? I mean, does it cause you to... You know, okay, after failed relationships or, you know, no relationships or whatever, or, you know, feeling like, okay, maybe, you know, this season in swimming isn't the best, and what's in the next one going to look like, or what am I going to do after college? What, you know, how am I going to, I barely survived this, you know, season. How now I'm going to have to get to know a whole new slew of people who might reject me. What do you do daily, or what would you say is your way of moving forward to say, I don't want to be that same person next year that I am today? You know, I don't, because I think a lot of people are like, I just wish God would take this away. I wish I didn't struggle. If I didn't struggle, God, I could serve you better. I could do this better. I could do, but where are you seeing God show up in the struggle?
I think how we're just talking about identity and how we know, like, in our head that we should find our identity in Christ. If we don't know who Christ is, that means nothing. I mean, I think what I do is I try to focus on who God is, who he says he is, and who he's proven to be through Scripture and through the lives of people around me and through my life, too. When I see that, I see who God is, and his value system is what controls my attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Something God's really been teaching me this summer, I think through the Focus Leadership Institute, is knowing more specifically who I am and who God's created me to be. Because obviously, we're all the same in that we're all, our identities are children of God. But at the same time, we're all really unique individuals in how he created mm-hmm. us and how we relate to him. And so doing things like this summer, just learning kind of what my strengths and weaknesses are, what things I do well, and learning more about my personality, how I relate to people, how I see the world differently from Troy or Anna. And I think that's helped me a little bit, because it's like I can see how I'm a unique individual piece in God's plan, and he's got specific strengths he's given me and a place that's going to use those strengths. So I think that's been kind of a practical application of learning more about myself, that I know I'm a child of God, but I'm also a unique child of God.
Hmm. I mean, I think this is going to sound a little bit cliche, but the fact that we feel devalued, I mean, that's a lie, because either we are who God says we are or we aren't, you know, and he says that we're valuable. So, I mean, I believe him. And so the only way to really defeat lies is with the truth. And so I think getting in the word every day, you know, spending time with God, even though that sounds cliche, I mean, it's not, though. It's so practical for a way to debunk the lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So interesting, because when I talk about this or think about it in my own life, I say, you know, it's almost like we talk about struggling with identity as this huge sense of shame, you know, and there's a lot of shame around it. But also, if we're not careful, it can also turn to pride. It can almost be the exact mm-hmm. opposite of, you know, I should be better than this. I should be able to do it, where we do turn our back on God and just say, well, you know, God, if you hadn't done this, or if mm-hmm. you hadn't made me this way, or if you hadn't put this person in my life who hurt me and stuff. Or we want to fix everything without having to go through the struggle, mm-hmm. it seems. And I know I've been there too, in just feeling like, yeah, I just, you know, somehow I need to cloak this, but work on it or fix it, you know, but I don't want to put it out in the open, because then that'll only play into my, you know, identity problems. So
exactly.
It's so true. So, well, thank you guys so much for being willing to share some of your story here and just kind of open up the conversation. Those of you that want to continue it, please do it on our blog and let us know just kind of what has helped you and what has God been teaching you lately when it comes to who you are in Christ and how that allows you to relate to others, both those within the body of Christ and, of course, those that do not yet know him. So thank you guys for really opening up and being honest about that.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.